Yeah, we're beginning this Experiencing God journey. And I am so excited for our fellowship of believers that we're going to be going through this, because it's a chance for us to know and do the will of God. I think this is an extremely well-written Bible study. It's been around for a long time, and part of the reason is because it has had such a tremendous impact on so many people. And when we see that spiritual movement, it's not the Bible study. It's really God moving in our hearts. But yet the Bible study is just a guide that we follow to help lead us through those things, to help us to have the proper perspective of how to look at God moving in our lives. And we're going to be studying this, and where it really starts is looking at Jesus' life. And Jesus is our model. And the scripture that Annie just read kind of lays out how Jesus knew what he was supposed to do. So I know you've just heard those words, but I want you to look at them again and pay attention to what Jesus can do on his own and how he knows what to do. So reading again, John chapter 5, verse 17 and verses 19 and 20. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these." So I want to ask you a few questions, and this is congregation participation now. So who is always at work according to the scripture? The Father. The Father is always at his work. Okay, so how much can the Son do by himself? Nothing. Jesus, even though he's God, can do nothing. So how does he know what he is supposed to be doing? He sees his Father. The Son sees his Father, what his Father is doing, and then he joins in with that. And finally, why does the Father show Jesus what to do? Because he loves him. Because he loves him. You know, I find that fascinating, that even though Jesus is God, you know, just as Jennifer was explaining to the children, Jesus is God, but yet he comes to this world and he doesn't try to do things on his own way. It's not like the Father said, "Oh yeah, you know what to do. You just go out and do whatever you want to." Even Jesus said, "I can do nothing except what I see the Father doing." And if that's true for Jesus, how much more true is that for us? That we too can only really accomplish what the Father's doing when we join in with him. Now I want to show you just kind of a basic diagram, and you're going to end up seeing this diagram quite a bit over the next few months as we go through this study, and you're going to become very familiar with it. I'm just going to give you an overview on it today, but there's seven realities that we'll pull from Scripture to really learn about this. And the first one is that God is always at work around you. The second one is that God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. The third one is that God invites you to become involved with him in his work. The fourth one, and this is my favorite one, the fourth one is God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. The fifth one is God's invitation for you to work with him always leads to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. The sixth one is that you must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what he is doing. And the final one, the seventh one, is that you come to know God by experience as you obey him and he accomplishes his work through you. So that's just kind of an overview of what we're going to be looking at. But I want to look at how we fit in to all of this. You know, God created us and He gave us free will. So we can do whatever we want to with the days that we're given. So we can go off and do things, and some of them may be good and some may not be so good. But the only way to have eternal, lasting impact and value is to be doing it God's way. Because God's at work all around us, and if we want to really make a difference, we join in with God. Because remember, we can do absolutely nothing on our own. In fact, our memory verse for this week, you know, kind of substantiates that. It's memory verse from John 15, verse 5. And it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is reminding us that if we try to do it away from Him, that we're cutting off the branch from the vine. And if we're separated from the vine or separated from Jesus, then we're really kind of dead. You know, we may think we're alive, but we're not really doing all that God created us to do, and we're missing out. And you know, God, when He created us in the first place, He created us with a plan, with a purpose. And the plans for our lives fits in God's plan, which is so much bigger, and it's a perfect plan. And He created it, and He prepared everything for us beforehand. And we see this if we look at Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, for we are God's workmanship. In some versions it says, we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So long before we were born, God had already prepared things for us. He knew about our lives and He knew how He was going to use us, and He prepared things. And God didn't just have a plan, but He even went before us and made arrangements for things. In fact, we can look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. And it talks about the Lord going before us but staying with us. It says, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So He is always with us. But, you know, God didn't just create us so we could accomplish things for Him. God created us so that He could have a relationship with us. And that's what God really wants, is for us to have a relationship with Him. And as we do His will and you know, abide in Him, then we experience Him. And we experience Him, and we come to know Him. And it's not just head knowledge. It's not just knowing about God. It's actually knowing God and knowing Him deep inside in our heart and our soul and our inner being. So just for an example, I have an amazingly wonderful earthly father. He is just this godly man who has always loved and cared for his family. And so I can honestly say, I know what a father's love is like because I've experienced that love. But, you know, if someone was an orphan, or maybe their father wasn't a godly father, or maybe he wasn't around a whole lot, you know, they may can read and say the words about a father's love, but they never truly experienced it. And so they can't say that they know it. And it's the same thing for our relationship with God. You know, we can read Scripture and we can hear about His character and we can read the stories and we can know a lot about God. But it's not until we give ourselves to the Lord. And He guides us in our lives, and we keep our focus on Him, and we're obedient to Him, that we truly experience who He is. You know, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we say that we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it's as if the Holy Spirit just kind of comes over us and is inside us. Kind of like what Jennifer was explaining to the kids. And, you know, in a way that some people, they think, oh, that sounds a little spooky, that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, comes over you. But it's a gift. It's a gift given to us so that we really know more about who God is. In fact, you can kind of think of it kind of like a translator package. In that before you accept Jesus Christ, God is moving around you at all times, and God is speaking to you, but you can't hear it, and you can't really understand things. You can read the words, but you don't quite get it. And yet, when you give your heart to Jesus, and you accept Him, and the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, it's amazing how you start to realize more of God all around you. And the more time you spend with God, the better you are at hearing God speak to you and knowing how He's guiding you in your life and really, really experiencing Him. In Hebrew, the word for spirit is ruach. And it also means wind or breath. And the Holy Spirit's often considered the breath of God. So you can kind of think about it in our lives that just as we breathe oxygen, that when we're given the Holy Spirit, that it's the breath of God that comes inside of us. That really gives us life in the fullness. I started thinking about this the other day and just kind of had a strange thought. We had our tables of eight this past week. How many of you have been involved in Tables of Eight in some way where you've met with other families and it's just a chance for our church membership to get to know each other better and to have a meal together? And it's always fun and some good fellowship. And we have a great group. We've laughed a lot. And I don't even know how it came up in conversation, but somehow it was mentioned about an iron lung. Now, how many of you know what an iron lung is? All right, I'll kind of point out it's those of us that are more mature in our age that remember what an iron lung is. In fact, we started laughing about it because Sweet Annie and Darren Sims are part of our Tables of Eight, and they didn't know what an iron lung is because they're too young. In fact, it was kind of laughed and said, oh, go to Google Image. In fact, that was kind of our theme all night long. Go to Google Image. So for those of you who are younger and don't know what an iron lung is, it is this metal cylinder that is a negative pressure ventilator. So for those people that have had polio or some disease that paralyzes their lungs so they can't breathe, they would lie in this chamber, and because of the oscillating of the pressure, their chest, their lungs were able to breathe. And that's how they lived, was that. And particularly in the 1940s and the 1950s, when there was a polio epidemic, then there were wards full in the hospitals of these iron lungs. And lots of people were in them, particularly children. And after that was mentioned the other night, just the term iron lung, I started thinking about that and thinking, oh, how horrible that would have been to be confined, that the only way you could survive, the only way you could breathe would be to be in this iron lung. You know, now there were some people that could go to it for 2 or 3 weeks and be in there, and that would kind of strengthen them enough so they could get out for a while. But there are people that have lived their entire lives in something like that so that they can breathe and survive. And I think, oh, how difficult that would be. But you know what? I started thinking about our spiritual lives. And I thought, you know what? There are people that are walking around who think that they are alive, and yet because they don't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're missing out on being fully alive. They're missing out on the gift of the Holy Spirit to help them experience God. And they're missing out on so much. You know, the Holy Spirit is kind of like our extra sense. You know, when we think about our senses that we can smell and taste and hear and see and touch, the Holy Spirit is like this other sense that is given to us so that we can really perceive and experience God. And without it, we're missing out on some of the most beautiful part of what God wants us to know about in our lives. Now, I know some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And when I talk about the Holy Spirit being inside of you and hearing God speak to you and somehow just knowing God has given you some type of knowledge or something, you understand what I'm talking about. But I also know for some, this sounds like foolishness. And the Bible even talks about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." But you know what? None of us have to miss out. Because God wants us all to fully know who He is. You know, if right now you're thinking, some of the things you're talking about, I'm not quite getting them, then let me just tell you, all you have to do is ask Christ to be in your life and ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance. And I don't want anyone in this room or anyone hearing my voice to miss out on what God has in store for all of us. And if you have some questions about this, I would love to visit with you. But let me also just give you five verses today that really lay out the idea of salvation. And there are five verses that you can read over and really be thinking about. And let me just encourage you to pick up a pencil and a paper and write down these five verses. Even if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you feel His Holy Spirit moving in you, write these down because you probably know someone in your life who's missing out on really knowing the Lord. And these five verses are called the Roman Road. It's because they come from the letter to the Romans that Paul wrote. And they're just different verses kind of spread around, but they tell perfectly all the things we need to know for salvation. The first one is Romans 3, verse 23, which simply says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In other words, none of us can do it on our own. The next one is Romans 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death." And that verse goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The next one is Romans 5:8, which tells us, "God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So He took the death penalty for us. The next one is Romans 10, verse 9. "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." That's all it takes, is confessing and believing. And then the final one is Romans 10, verse 13. "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You see, we have this God who loves us, and He wants everyone to be saved. And I don't want anyone to miss out. Do not leave today without talking to me or someone else or setting up a time later this week to visit more. But if you're not hearing the Holy Spirit moving in your life or feeling God and knowing for sure that you are safe, don't put it off any longer. Now, let me just kind of wrap it up with this. I'm so excited with where I think we're going to see God moving in our lives, in our church, in our community. Because we really do have this God who has told us that if we seek Him, we will find Him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He says, if you seek me, you will find me. And He says, if you call on me, I will be there for you. And so we have a chance of living our lives to the fullest by focusing on God and really having Him in our lives. And I think it's going to be amazing, the things that we're going to be experiencing as we work as a prayerful unit to grow in the Lord. And so I'm looking forward to this journey, this glorious journey, as we all grow in faith and experience God. Amen.